Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, I guess we talk now. Hi, I'm Judy Hannon. I wrote a book called Motherhood Exaggerated about my journey as a mother while my then 8-year-old daughter underwent cancer treatment, and my daughter's 20 now and healthy and wonderful.
Hi, my name is Claire Bidwell-Smith, and I wrote a memoir called The Rules of Inheritance, and it was about losing both of my parents to cancer at a young age. They both got it within a month of each other when I was 14. My mother died when I was 18, and my father when I was 25. And the book is kind of about coming of age in grief and loss and then coming out of it, and I'm now a therapist specializing in grief and a mother of two little girls.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, I should add also that I also have other children. Nadia has a twin brother, Max, and I have an older daughter, Franny. The book that I wrote, I think, was also, I mean, if you talk about, I suppose, the question that I would ask you and that people ask me all the time is, you know, why write the book? Was it transformative? Was it therapeutic? What was the process like? I mean, do you want to talk about that first?
Sure. This book, you know, my father died 9 years ago, and after he died, I went through a lot of depression, and when I began to come out of it, I ended up getting a master's in clinical psychology, and I became a therapist, and then I worked in hospice for a number of years as a grief counselor.
That's brave.
Yeah, well, you know, I felt like I really understood the experience of losing someone and of dealing with people with long-term illness, and if I was able to handle it and talk about it, I felt like I should, you know, because there are so many people who do have such a hard time talking about death and facing it, that if I was comfortable in that realm, then I should use that as a, you know, as a tool. And so my book was really born out of that experience. I felt like I just really wanted to give something back. And really wanted to create something that would be helpful to people. I structured my book around Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 5 stages of grief. Mm. And I just wanted to kind of give a new spin on them and a new take. A lot of my clients were coming to me with confusion over the 5 stages. So I kind of wanted to show how
I'm not sure those 5 stages are very linear. I mean, isn't it possible, at least I find, when I think about Nadia's experience, to go through the 3rd stage and then go back to the 1st stage. I mean, I don't know whether that was...
Exactly. So my book is actually nonlinear. You see me at all these different ages and different places in my life as they pertain to the 5 stages. And that's kind of what I wanted to show. I felt like people kept coming to me and thinking there was going to be this formula and that they would go through this stage and then that stage, and each one was going to take a certain amount of time. And I just kind of wanted to show that they're, in fact, quite mixed up, and sometimes you won't go through any of them, or you won't go through all of them, or you'll go through one of them for a particularly long time or not another. And I thought breaking up my own experience into that would help demonstrate that.
Yeah. Well, I certainly understand the impulse to to want to give back or tell your story, because after Nadia finished her treatment, Nadia was 8 when she was diagnosed with a Ewing sarcoma in her jaw, and she had... about 7 or 8 months of treatment. And when she finished, I think we both like ran to our local bookstore and were looking for other people's stories to read, because, you know, that's kind of what you feel with any big experience that happens in your life. It doesn't have to be a medical story. And there really wasn't much. There was certainly nothing for her. And for me, well, there were stories by mothers, mostly they were about grief, which is obviously a really important thing to write about. But, you know, Nadia survived, and that's a very different story. And also I found that because I think that if the outcome had been different, I don't think I could have written as honestly about Nadia and about kind of what we went through. There's, you know, I would find it very difficult to say anything negative about her. I mean, maybe over time I might have been able to, but so to be honest.
That's really interesting that you feel like you were able to say negative things about her because she survived. So you feel like if she had died, you wouldn't have been able to say those things?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been a lot harder, you know. When I say negative, I mean, I'm really just, you know, some of the fights that we had or the struggles that we had or times during her treatment when she was rude or abusive to me or, you know, those kinds of situations. I think it would be very hard to be completely honest, to not want to sugarcoat it. And that's a big issue for me, because I think when a lot of people write about cancer, particularly childhood cancer, they tend to turn the children into heroes or angels or martyrs or imbue them with qualities that they're really mm-hmm. just people, you know. And so it was important for me to steer away from that.
I agree. Honesty was so important in my book. I felt like there was no point in writing a memoir unless I was going to be as brutally honest as possible. But I think for me it was almost easier because, I mean, I wrote some of the most brutal stuff about my mother when she was sick. You know, I was a teenager, and it was so hard for me to kind of wrap my head around. And I really, like, missed my mother instead of I had this sick woman who didn't look like my beautiful mother and didn't act like her. And I, you know, resented her at times, and I hated her at times, and I didn't want to touch her body at times. And I wrote a lot about that, and I feel like it was almost easier to write about that because she was gone, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think
it's the opposite of you.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe it's a little different with mothers. I mean, because my mother died when I was 30, and in some of the early versions of my book, you know, I ran, you know, you run the risk of being brutally honest and just being brutal. So I think I was just kind of brutal. And the publisher said to me, you know, there are parts in this book that we don't really like you very much. And it was the first time that I realized that I was a character in my book. And I wasn't just the author, I was also a character, and that people had to have some kind of connection to me, and I became a little bit off-putting in the name of what I thought was honesty. And it was really just kind of this residual anger that I hadn't really thought about in a long time. It was like I had always told myself this particular story about my relationship with my mother, and what I hadn't realized, and because, you know, I'm 59 now, so, you know, it has been a while since my mother died. That story shifted, and I hadn't realized it. And so, that was really an amazing part of writing this book, is that I discovered that my attitudes had shifted, but I don't think I would have known that if I hadn't sat down to write the book. And kind of that self-revelation. I mean, I think partially after going through the experience with Nadia, it changed me, but I wasn't aware that it changed me until I wrote the book.
Yeah, I went through a similar experience with mine. I wrote three versions of my book, and I changed, like, I literally changed each time. Not necessarily from the experience of writing them, but each one was so different because I had changed. Mm-hmm. And the last version I wrote after becoming a mother, and that had a profound effect on me and how I viewed my parents and how I viewed their loss, and that I think is why it is the strongest version of the book, and why it worked so well, because I had really come to kind of an end to that chapter in my life. I think becoming a mother kind of closed a door on that chapter of losing them and coming through.
Yeah, I mean, I wrote some of my book too early, and I think it was, I think some of it was okay, that I think that, you know, some of the hardest stuff, you know, when something big happens, if you're a writer, you start writing it, and, you know, some of the hard stuff I wrote right away about, you know, some of the medical stuff, and I'm glad I kind of got it down right away, because it would have been harder, I think, to write it 3 years later. But what I didn't have on kind of the balance of the book and kind of my response to it, I had no distance. And I think that it was almost a blessing that the publishing process took as long as it did, because I think that the final manuscript that I wrote, I couldn't have written any earlier. you know, just all, nothing, it all hadn't quite come together yet.
No, I agree. I think that's something a lot of memoirs struggle with, is kind of writing too early, because I think it's an impulse, you know, it's a way of processing an experience, is writing about it. And I think so many of us struggle with the actual books because we're still kind of immersed in the experience and immersed in the story.
Right.
Do you agree?
Well, yeah. I mean, because even now I find that, you know, I could go back to the book now and write it a different way because there's still parts of it that I'm living. And you get so, I mean, I get, one of my biggest problems with writing is that I can take one tiny little section and go off into a gazillion different directions because my mind just gets so twisted up and thoughts and kind of, it's not stream of consciousness, but it's more all the different associations that I can make with one thought, and I just get myself buried and all twisted up, and I have to stop and step back and figure out, okay, what do I really want to say here?
You know, what's important to the story and the reader as opposed to what you're processing on your, you know,
right,
your own.
I mean, it's not, I mean, writing is not being on the therapist's couch, you know, it's, I mean, it's helpful in a way to kind of maybe vent some stuff, but it isn't necessarily what you want to end up to have as your final product.
Right, like I'm really grateful for the stuff that I did write out that helped me process it, but I'm glad that I didn't get stuck on it. Like I knew I had to keep moving forward and keep writing. And
right, because you're telling a story and you want to other people. I mean, I don't know about you, but I find that while I think the initial impulse to write the book was to tell the story, because I think people, you know, want to read stories like that, you know, I wrote it to be a work of literature and to be respected as a piece of writing, because it really, it isn't just, I mean, nobody can write one of these stories and just have it be a straight medical story. It's a story about my life, my journey as a mother, what it was like for me to be a child, what my mother was like, what my experiences, my relationship with my husband, my children, you know, religion to the extent that plays into it, the solace that I find in nature. I mean, you can't just write a story about, you know, today I took my daughter to the hospital. You know, that's not a full story.
You know, one of the pivotal moments in figuring out my book was when I realized that I had been keeping out certain parts that had been very much just about my parents and about cancer and loss and all these things, and I kind of started to realize, it was through the help of a friend who read some early drafts, I realized that all of my relationships, my romantic relationships, have been a big part of this story and of this kind of coming of age, because they were the men in my life were my kind of release from all the grief and loss. I kind of ended up in some dark relationships, but also some really interesting ones. And when I let myself start to write about just the men in my life and the relationships and the romantic attachments, and that was really when kind of the story started to come together. And I hadn't let myself think that was part of the story for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally did, and it became a much richer story for it, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think in some of the earlier books, people would say to me, "Do you have a husband?" I'd say, "Yeah," and they'd say, "Well, where was he during all of this? Because he's not here."
Right.
Just like,
I think that's another hard thing as a memoir writer, because like you yourself know he was there, and you know that he did such and such, but you can sometimes forget to let the reader in on those things.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
And it was so important, because that, you know, we responded to what happened differently, and, you know, I had to provide background on what our relationship was like going into this experience, which it wasn't at its high point at that point. and, you know, the reader has to know that kind of information, because, again, this is, you know, you have to show context and depth. I mean, when you know, I do readings, and, you know, I think I'm reading to just like a general audience. I mean, everybody comes up afterwards and tells me, you know, my husband this and my mother that, and my, you know, everybody's got a story to tell, and they just, it just pours out of them, because, you know, we write books like this, and they're just so necessary.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's the reaction to your book been like?
You know, I think it's been great. You know, obviously it's I don't know why I say obviously, it's not a bestseller. I've gotten great response from people both on the content and the quality of the book, the quality of the writing. The publisher of this book is a nonprofit publisher in New Jersey called Cavan Carey Press, and they just put out beautiful books, and it's a beautiful cover with this dragonfly kind of in silhouette that looks like a person with wings, looks like it's kind of creating a nest, and it's really quite a beautiful image. The press has just been wonderful, and I love working with a small press. But of course, the downside of that is that they don't have the publicity arm that you might find in a bigger house. But you know, I used to be a fundraiser, so I know how to, you know, use contacts and to make connections. And, you know, I've just found that the response of people at readings, whether they're, you know, they've had as many as 45 and as few as 3, you know, it's always just an amazing experience, just always amazing. Whatever section of the book that I read, it's really quite beautiful.
That's
how about yourself?
Yeah, it's been a great experience. Mine came out through Penguin, and I mean, even with a big publisher, I still feel like I did a lot of my own groundwork on publicity.
Yeah.
I think you have to these days as a writer. But the reception of the book has been really, really fantastic. I get emails every week from people who've read it and who it just it touched, and that's, you know, that's the most important thing to me.
Yeah,
forget Amazon rankings and all that stuff. It's
fun
so,
to check every once in a while.
Yeah, every once in a while, it's okay.
Yeah.
But it's so nice to get emails from readers and say that the book touched them in some way and made them feel a little less alone in their experience, which is all I wanted. I'm sure you get that, too, from other mothers and parents who are going through similar experiences.
You know, I find it interesting when I started promoting the book, it was friends and family and, you know, school friends, you know, other mothers and my kids went to school with their kids and stuff like that. And then it was like the first review or the first on Amazon or the first email I got or letter from someone who I couldn't connect back to any personal connection. And like, this is a pure and total stranger who discovered my book and read it. And you know, that was really thrilling. To find that it really connected with somebody who is a perfect stranger. And that they took the time to write, which I think is amazing.
Yeah, I always
I'm going to have to start writing people more because it really means a lot.
I know, me too. Now, you know, my daughters are really young. My oldest daughter's 3, and I have a 3-month-old. My oldest daughter appears in my book, but not the 3-month-old. She wasn't born yet. And people ask me all the time, like, what do you think your daughter will think about your book? And I just have no idea. So why don't you tell me what it's been like for you what does your daughter think of it?
Well, you know, my whole family is in the book, and I, of course, had to get all of their permissions before I did this. You know, particularly, you know, I would say Nadia, obviously, and my husband, but they're all in there, and they, you know, warts and all, to use a cliche. And I think that for my husband, he's just like really proud of me. He's just super, super proud. He does not want to go back and revisit any of this. This isn't the kind of person he is, whereas I felt sadness and grief. Johnny is just angry. He's still angry that it happened. But he's been very supportive. You know, he comes to all the readings that he can. He's going to be at the West Hollywood Book Fair when we go. He isn't playing golf, that is. But no, I think he'll be out in California with me anyway. And he, you know, I think he's very supportive. Nadia, when she there's been years in progress, and as she's gotten older, she's had different responses. It depends on how old she is at the time. But when the book finally came out, she was very excited. She said she wanted to have the first copy. I said, they're not like, pieces of art. They don't come in numbered editions, but... and so I brought her the book to her at college, and she kind of hugged it, and she said, I'm not going to read it, but I'm really happy to have it. And I said, okay, I wouldn't expect you to. And then she called me a few days later and said she read it, and all she said was that, I think there's some things that we remember a little differently, which is, fair enough, because it's my story.
I had an ex-boyfriend say the same thing to me after he
read
it.
And of course, before it was published, my husband did read the whole thing. That had to happen. My other two kids, Max is kind of like his father, really proud of me. He's got some nice appearances in the book, some kind of bratty ones as well, but he's just really, really happy. And actually, between all my kids, that's probably more of their friends who have liked the Motherhood Exaggerated Facebook page than my own friends. There's like 30 of their friends who have liked that page. And I will say my older daughter probably has right now, more of a problem, not with the book, but with the time. She was very, very devoted to Nadia, and I think she's struggling a little bit with what happened. While she's been very supportive, and she's an amazing editor, and I had to be careful not to use her. I've asked for her help on essays and things like that, but certainly not on the book. I think that they're all on board, I would say that my husband probably had the hardest, also because I had to be very honest about him.
Sure.
And
it wouldn't be a good book otherwise.
So are you working on anything now?
Yeah, I'm working on a new book right now. It's actually a kind of a spiritual memoir. I'm on a search to figure out what I believe happens when we die. So it's kind of...
Please let me know when you figure it out.
What's that?
Yeah, I said let me know when you figure it out.
I haven't figured it out yet, but I've been doing all kinds of interesting things, from like seeing psychic mediums to taking Kabbalah classes and talking with priests, and kind of coming at it from a standpoint of not having any firm beliefs about the afterlife, and trying to come out of it with some sense of what I can tell my daughters and what where I think my parents might be. Mm-hmm. So it's been an interesting journey so far. What about you?
First, I had to say, if my husband does have a chance to meet you, make sure you tell him about your book, your what you're working on, because he's fascinated by all of that.
Definitely, I will.
Yeah. What I'm working on now is not quite taking shape yet, but I had an original. My first thought was to develop a piece of the book of Motherhood Exaggerated that dealt with my mother's kind of mental breakdown when she was a young mother. And I wanted to develop that story a little bit more fully within the context of kind of women's mental health in the 1960s and 70s, which is a kind of a big transition time. And unfortunately, I haven't been able to get enough information. I couldn't get her medical records because they said they don't have them. And there aren't enough people around for me kind of to find out. My parents didn't share a lot with us, which is also a theme in my book. And my father has Alzheimer's now, so there's not a lot I can get out of him. I mean, it was a little bit forthcoming. But my mother's closest sister died, and her, older friends, I don't even know where they are. So I may kind of take a stab at fiction and kind of try and cover the same territory in a fictional. But we'll see. It's not, other than like three short stories, I really haven't done a lot of fiction. So, but other than that, I'm just working on a variety of essays, mostly in... kind of the medical sphere, or end of life, kind of stuff. The kind of the the stuff that happens to people, you know, it's,
yeah.
It's that kind of stuff that you write about. So, yeah.
Sounds like you're as busy as I am.
Yeah.
To talk with you.
But I'm an empty nester now, so that's a little bit different. So that takes some.
Well, I'm looking forward to catching up more at the book fair.
Yeah, yeah.
We will be there on Sunday at 11, right?
Sunday at 11, yes.
Okay. The West Hollywood Book Fair, Sunday, September 30th.
Yes, exactly. And and I guess, you know, I'm looking forward to reading your book, which I know I can purchase on Amazon, but are there other ways that I can find you? Or
yep, it's in bookstores everywhere, and e-reader and on Amazon, and my website is ClaireSmith.com. And what about you?
MotherhoodExaggerated.com. I'm in some bookstores. I can't say. I actually don't even know which ones, but obviously you can order it through a bookstore if they don't have it, or my website, or Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and there's an e-book as well. So, yeah.
Well, it's been really fun talking with you.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting you in person.
Likewise. I will see you Sunday.
Okay, take care.
All right,
bye.
Take care.
Bye.
Left you on the debris at the Sunday morning market. You were starting through the odds and ends. You was looking for a bargain. I heard your footsteps at the front door. You knew you'd find me waiting there at the top of the stairs. At the depot, with the General Workers Union, and yet that they'll never change a thing. Well, they won't fight, and they're not working. Left you on the debris. now we both know you're